بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Brothers and sisters, inshallah we are going to continue the second session of this workshop about marriage before and after. And in the previous session, we started distributing some cards and some pens to know what every brother or sister need to achieve from this workshop. So feel free to get paper from here and a pen to write what are your goals, what do you want to achieve, what are the questions that you have in mind to be answered, because this will guide my handling or my delivery of this speech. We were talking about why should we marry, and we mentioned a number of things. We mentioned the first one, the continuation of life, and the second one is responding or getting more offspring who will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember the situation of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was delivering da'wah, and he went to a Taif, and he got all these types of resistance from the people of Taif, and he was expelled out of Mecca, and he had lots of troubles at this time. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent angel to him asking Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مُرْنِي أَنْ أَطْبُقَ الْأَخْشَبَيْنَ عَلَيْهِ, just command me to flip the two mountains on the kuffar, right? And all of them will be dead. Just give me a command. Prophet Muhammad was asked for this. If you want me to destroy all those kuffar by destroying the mountains on their heads, I will do this. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said no. Hopefully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get from offspring those people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from their offspring. And from them we came. From those offspring we came, and we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thanks to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his supplication and his work. So this is another goal, that for marriage, for a Muslim, is to continue having good, righteous offspring that will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and will benefit the whole ummah that we need. Even those who passed away and died in their graves still can benefit from the good people who are living from our dua to them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of them. And the continuation of life, and this is something very important. With all these problems happening in the world of gays and lesbians, and the increase of those deviant sects and deviant human beings, under all the claims that they claim, of course, there will be a decrease in the number of the kuffar in the whole world. And this in itself is a blessing for Muslims. So the number of the Muslims are increasing from one side, and the number of the non-Muslims is decreasing by their own choice. A couple of years ago, I saw on a TV program presented by an American scientist, sociologist, talking about the number, the decrease of the number of birth rate in different countries, and he selected Italy, one of these, as one of the examples of these countries. And he talked about the birth rate in Italy nowadays is 1.2, and he made all this, alaykum salam, and he made all these calculations, and it turned out to say that after 1,000, approximately 17 years, there will not be a single Italian human being on this earth. By having this number decreasing of the birth rate, so there will be no Italian living on the earth, because they will, all of them, they will finish out because of the decrease of the number. So vice versa, we should increase the number. And here is the command, from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, very straightforwardly. Prophet Muhammad said this hadith, تَنَاكَحُوا تَنَاسَلُوا فَإِنِّي مُبَاهٍ بِكُمُ الْأُمَمَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Marry and get offspring and deliver babies and deliver kids, because I will compete with other nations, I compete with my nation with other nations on the day of judgment. So every messenger will have his own followers, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants to have the biggest number of followers because he wants to compete with other nations, alhamdulillah, by having such a big number. So there is a command in the hadith to marry, and command from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to get kids, as much kids as you can. And this is again a very important issue for brothers and sisters to realize. And fortunately it seems that the more sophisticated or the more education we have, the more philosophical analysis and the more excuses we try to get away from the number of kids, as if it is something that was not happening in the past. You find people nowadays, it's very difficult nowadays, and every time was difficult. Every time was difficult. If you ask our parents when they were at our ages, they would say the same thing in comparison with their parents. And when you compare the grandparents with their grandparents, they would say the same thing. Yes. But again, it seems it's very quite apparent that the more education we have, or the most educated people nowadays, they have less children. You can find this, you can trace this. And it seems that there is a negative correlation between education and getting more kids. We are encouraged by this hadith and by many other hadith to get more kids, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be happy with this number and will compete with other nations. Another reason is, which is one of the most important reasons why should we marry, we are responding to the fitrah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us from mud and from soul, from body and soul. And each of these has its demands and needs, and they need to be fulfilled. So the soul has its demands and needs, and they can be fulfilled by nourishing from the Quran and the Sunnah. And the body needs its sustenance, and it takes its sustenance from the rizq Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the food, from the vegetation, from the fruit, from the meat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us to eat. Allah created us and He wanted us to enjoy this life. One of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created with us is this lust and this desire, the sexual desire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in ourselves, created us with this, and He wanted us to fulfill this in the halal issue. Otherwise, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create us with this? Allah gave us the eyes to use it in seeing, gave us our ears to use it in listening, gave us our feet to walk on them, gave us this lust to use it, to enjoy it. And in fact, as we mentioned in a number of hadith, yes, خَيْرُ مَتَاعِ الدُّنْيَا الْمَرْأَةُ الصَّالِحَةِ. Yes. So these are some of the reasons why should we marry. Again, another reason is that when we get offspring, when we get dhurriya, and we raise them up in a very good manner, and this is where we need to invest our time. Unfortunately, you find again some people who are looking for one job, two jobs, three jobs, and you find the end result is just they want to change their caprice into BMW. A very trivial reason. And you would find other people who are smarter than them, yes, who would work one job and get less money, but they spend more time with their kids to raise them up Islamically. Kids don't need your money as much as they need your time. And that's what you see that everybody, every teacher, every counselor on the earth would say, that Kids need you to sit with them, to talk to them. Muslims and non-Muslims alike, all of them hit on this issue. And we are Muslims, we really deserve to pay more attention. And if we do this, if we raise, for example, there's a hadith by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you have two daughters and you raise them Islamically well, they will be a barrier for you to keep you away from hellfire. So this is another way to defend ourselves, to bring up good people to this earth, to raise them to be good Muslims, and this will be something that would help us to go to paradise. This is another hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All these issues that I mentioned are the response of why should we marry. Now we're getting into serious issues. Everybody asks this question. I'm sure that every young man or woman have their dreams and their imagination about Mr. Right or Miss Right before marriage. And this is their full right to think of that and to have some ideals and to have some picture, shadowy picture of the husband or of the spouse that they want and they are looking for. Again, I will relate this issue to the first thing that started in this lecture when I talked about the mission and the vision of every Muslim, the mission that وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned and I explained this, the whole purpose of our life, the whole mission of our life is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So instead of just imagining how would the husband and or the wife would be, we spend it on what did Allah say? What are the qualifications of the good wife? And what are the qualifications of the good husband? What are the criteria that a sister would look for in a husband and a husband would look for in a sister? This is something, again, that's very much affected by the culture that we lived in. And unfortunately, we still confuse and we still mix the cultural issues and the religious issues. And we think that everything that we did in our culture is Islam, which is absolutely not true. But we think that we came from Islamic countries and our parents were Muslims, that means everything that they did is correct. This is not the way we get our religion. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran did not like this and invited people to think by saying these verses, أَوَلَوْ كَانَ آبَاؤُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ. Even if their fathers were not qualified to make these rulings and judges about Islam, not every doctor is a good scholar in Islam. Not every engineer is a good scholar of Islam. It doesn't mean that we are getting education in other areas. Not every engineer can be a doctor. Right? Unfortunately, we still have this issue in our life and we cannot apply it and use it in a very good sense. We never go to the most famous engineer in the world to operate on our hearts, right? We'd be crazy. And we would never go to a doctor, right, a medical doctor, to build a house for us or to build the mosque for us because he's just unqualified in this area. But when we come to the issue of Islam, we authorize ourselves and we become experts in this religion. So everything, we give fatwa in it. We give fatwa in it. We give fatwa in it. Why don't you give fatwa and you operate on your son? When your son is sick and he needs to be operated on, you never try to operate on him. Because you are an engineer. You know that you are not qualified. But when we come to the issue of religion, we start to operate. Well, not only that, when we compare the two issues together, one of them, the worst case, right, is death in this dunya. But the other case is losing paradise. When we make fatwas and when we misguide people, we might lead them to hellfire.
وَالْعَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And there are a couple of hadith that talk about this أَسْرَعْكُمْ, or a couple of أَثَر that were mentioned among the, by the companions, something that says أَسْرَعُكُمْ إِلَى الْفَتْوَى or أَجْرَأُكُمْ عَلَى الْفَتْوَى أَقْرَبُكُمْ إِلَى النَّارِ. The closest one, the most, the one that who makes fatwa quicker is the closest to hellfire. This is a very important warning for all of us. And it's no wonder to find Imam al-Shafi'i radiallahu anhu to be asked a question and he would remain 2 years without answering this question. And even you find comments on this, that the good scholar is the one that you find his answers, most of his answers is, I don't know. You have to constrain your tongue from giving fatwa, either as a scholar and as a parent. We don't know everything about the legal issues because it needs some expert people in this. And this is the nature of knowledge. The more knowledge you have, the less you feel that you are knowledgeable. Because you find yourself after studying 50 years, you are specialized only in one area in computer, on one area in medicine. And you ask him about another thing, you say, no, this is not my specialty. Yes, it's true. The more education you have, the more you feel that you need more to learn. And we need to apply this in our life, not to give fatwas without knowledge. As we consult experts in medicine and we consult them in engineering and all aspects of life, we have to respect this issue and to consult those who are experts. And also, as you go to more than one doctor who is going to operate, I got an operation, 5 bypass operation on my heart. And of course, it's a matter of life and death. And they gave me a list of doctors to select from. And I did the research. Yes, which doctor is more qualified, which doctor is... I did made some research. Yes, and I selected the doctor that whom I think that he is better than others. And in the same way, when we consult people for fatwas, we should do this. One person, another person, a third person, until we get really the clear-cut fatwa that we become comfortable with. Again, the fatwa should not be something that matches our whims. Because sometimes people has this habit of having everybody, yes, they ask him a fatwa. They know the answer. They have asked this question hundreds of times and they got the answer. But they need a specific answer that matches their desire. This is not the way to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by our desires, nobody would come up to the mosque at the Fajr prayer and pray. Why should we do that? We should sleep at home, and when we get up at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, we do the 2 rak'ahs, as some people do. Because this is our desire, to take more rest in our bed. But we do this because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do the prayer on time. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do the prayer at specific time. And this is the meaning of ibadah. When we do our ibadahs, we do something that is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not loved by us. Let me give you a very simple analogy here. When you love your kid, right? And your kid wants from you to buy them pizza, right? And you are going to bring them some ta'miyya or shish kebab. Do you think they would love it or no? No. If you want to please someone, you please him according to the way he or she wants it or love it. If you love your wife and you know that she likes gold, you are not going to buy silver for her. Right? You, when you love the person, you love him in the way that he wants you to love him. This is the essence of the ibadah. It's not we love Allah in the way that we want to love him. For example, if we want to do Salat al-Maghrib 5 rak'ahs because we love to pray for the sake of Allah, can we do that? No. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants Salat al-Maghrib to be 3 rak'ahs. And the shaitan would come to us, why it is 3 rak'ahs? Why not it shouldn't be 4 rak'ahs like Aisha's? And you may love this. This is a very good idea.
As the thing that we mentioned probably some times ago, one person in California, yes, we're talking about the Salat al-Jum'ah and the Muslim quitting their job for an hour or 2 hours. There are many problems for those people, yes, to pray Salat al-Jum'ah, to take excuse for 2 hours. And one person tried to solve the problem, a Muslim, so-called Muslim. Yes. He said that why shouldn't we postpone Salat al-Jum'ah to Sunday and to solve the problem? All the people are in the weekend. You see? It's a very good solution, of course. But try to imagine. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it to be on Friday. So it should be on Friday. Yeah? This is the ubudiyyah. Otherwise, we would make Salat Subh instead of 2 rak'ahs, 3 rak'ahs, and 4 rak'ahs, and everybody would have his own religion. You see? And that's why the people in other religion deviated to the degree that we are 100% sure that Moses alayhi salam used to pray like our prayer, according to the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unfortunately, when you see now the followers, or those who claim that they are followers of Moses alayhi salam, they don't pray in the same way. You see how much change happened? You see changes happen like this? Another example in this issue is that at the time of Jesus, yes, if you go into the church or the temple, would you find the cross carrying Jesus in it? Would you find it? Of course not. Because, yes, he was there. But now, in every church, you find this cross with Jesus on it, according to their understanding. Well, how did this happen? You see? And there is no wonder when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ مَا إِن تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِ لَن تَضِلُّوا بَعْدِ أَبَدًا. I left with you things that if you abide by them, you will never get astray. كتاب الله وسنتي, the book of Allah and my sunnah and my tradition, the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what did he command us to do? He said, bite firmly on them. عَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِزِ. Bite very firmly on them. That means abide hard by them, not loosely. You have to be modern. No. To abide by them literally. And yes, you see, why did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, bite on them by nawajiz, these molar teeth? Not just by the teeth. Because by the teeth they may go out from you. But by the molar teeth, they will be cut. See, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's why it's important for you to know Arabic. Why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said bin nawajiz, not by bil asnan, not by the teeth, by these, the strongest thing that you bite hard on anything. This is how should we deal with the Sunnah and the Quran.